Welcome into the talk show at 9:17. My first guest is the new executive director of the Quincy Catholic Elementary Schools Foundation, former alderman in Quincy, Jared Holbrook. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it very, very much.
Well, thank you for inviting me, sir.
Certainly. And, of course, as the foundation, you are involved more in terms of working with the elementary schools in terms of funding, in
Correct.
Terms of scholarships, things like that.
Yes. Yes, sir. So that is actually, I have a very simple mandate, and that is to raise money for people who want Catholic education for their kids from kindergarten or to eighth grade. That's my job. It's also to, we started teacher grants this year, so for this first year, we've awarded about $10,000 in teacher grants to support our teachers. That's it. You know, that is, I don't want to say that's it, but as we were discussing earlier, there's a confusion in sort of what I do, what the Quincy Catholic School director does, and that confusion has been made clear since I've got the job, where people who know me are congratulating me, thinking I'm taking one job, but I'm the foundation. I have one concern, and that is to make sure that people who want God in their children's lives through the school system can afford it, and right. I'm the conduit.
Right, exactly. And the teacher funding that you just talked about, what are the teachers, are they using it for like supplying their classrooms and things like that?
Correct. So, you know, if a teacher wants, if you have a PE teacher that wants, you know, some new scooters to ride around on the floor, they can apply for that, and we look over the application, and boom, you can have a new scooter or art supplies, science supplies, stuff like that. Because, and you know this, my wife's a public school teacher. I've got buckets and bins of books that she's purchased out of her own pocket. Mm-hmm. They do that in the public schools too. In the Catholic school system, there's even more of self-giving on the part of our teachers. So they are purchasing and spending a lot of their own time, talent, and treasure simply because of the way we fund our system. You know, so this is a way for, you know, donors to the Catholic Education Foundation, System Foundation, to maybe redirect some of that funds towards the teachers because they need it. They need it too.
Yeah.
It's not just the families.
Yeah, they really, really do. Now, in terms of the costs for elementary school kids to go, now it's nothing like Q&D, but there right. still is a significant cost to decide to put your kids through Catholic elementary school and still be burdened with the property tax that everybody has to pay.
Correct. And that's the, I don't want to say unfair, but Q&D doesn't have a parish. So they don't have a parish subsidizing half their tuition. So let's just make up a number. Let's say it's $7,000 to send your child to Q&D. Well, it's about the same cost for the grade schools, but the parishes subsidize half of that. So that's where you have that jump from the grade schools to Q&D, which, as you say, it is more of a burden. But that's where we get into maybe we should have a long-term plan. If your goal is Catholic grade school, Q&D, Quincy University, why don't we have a plan set in place day one where we can help people save money for Q&D, for QU? That's what I would love to see. But you're right. You know, people will say, well, we already pay for, you know, the public education through our tax dollars. And that's where it becomes very easy for me. I'm not competing for I'm not competing against QHS. I am simply telling people who want Jesus and God in their curriculum, mm-hmm. in every class, if you want it, we're here to support you and cover that cost.
Yeah, because there are differences in terms of a Catholic education. Public school kids are not going to Mass once a week.
Correct.
Or more during the school year. They're not being exposed to the tenets of Catholic teachings during the school year. Public
right.
schools aren't. Catholic schools are. There's also different things in terms of wearing of uniforms, things like that,
right.
and just a little bit more responsibility is foisted on kids. And it depends on what that responsibility is, but it seems to grow each year
right.
through eighth grade where the kids be like, you watch over the young ones.
Yes.
You know, you're kind of a mentor to this
yes.
young one as well. So there are teachings that are available in the Catholic schools that you don't get in the public schools.
Correct. And that's where even me, you know, as a father, that I've failed to really spend time with, so my children go to St. Dominic's, and my oldest is going to be going to QND this school year. And I should have spent more time seeing what you've just described with my children. We're not sending kids to school to go to daycare. We're sending them, and now that I look at it through my eyes, I'm 43 years old, and I look at my children, I look how they turned out. I should have spent more time understanding how important the teachings of morality and restraint, just all of those things that they can, that the Catholic faith and the Christian faith ingrains in children. Because you look at how we are formed, and by age, about age 7, your morality starts to get settled in, and by age, 10 and 12, it's really ingrained. And to see the importance of that, I always tell my oldest, I really don't care what your grades are. And I know that's terrible to say. I don't care. I want to know how good you're going to be, how kind you are, how merciful you are. And they do teach and help children with that in the public school system, but not to the extent that the Catholic grade schools are allowed to do it. I was speaking with a principal about 3 weeks ago, and she said she always challenges her teachers, how are you incorporating faith into your subject? Well, if you're a PE teacher, or you're a, whatever class you're teaching, if you're a math teacher, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, she challenges them to do it, and they have the resources through the diocese and through ongoing training to make that happen, and it's just unreal how much they're doing to incorporate the Catholic faith and Christian teaching into subjects that you were like, oh, that is amazing. I didn't even think about that as a parent. That's why it's worth it to the people who want it to save the money, to not buy the new car, to not buy the big house, or for people like me. Listen, and this is one thing I loved about taking this position. My family needed this foundation on two occasions. And it just so happened to be this year. I'm a self-employed photographer and musician, and I had to have, I'm going on my second surgery for my feet. I was looking at up to 6 months without being able to work. How am I going to afford a child going to Notre Dame and through the school system, the grade school system, right? We turn to the foundation. And then then things happen, and Sarah Rochel has another position, and this comes up, and now I find myself going, boy, isn't it nice to know that a person in this position knows what it's like to have to say, I need help. Mm-hmm. Where can we get help? Because I don't want to keep going to mom and dad or, my rich Aunt Carla. That's a joke. But you know what I mean? This is the place, and I'm the person for these people to come to, because I'm in your shoes. I was in it this past year, and I was in it once before.
Mm-hmm. And don't worry, you're going to learn a lot more about Q&D with the increased service hours that you're going to be doing next year. So you'll get an idea of what your son goes through each day,
Yes. All
those times you'll spend in the concession areas or in the Q&D cafeteria. So don't worry, you'll get more about that. But that's part of it, too, is the fact that I know a lot of the public schools, they sometimes have problems with some students in terms of getting parental involvement.
Yeah.
It's mandated at the Catholic elementary and Q&D. It's mandated. You have to do these things like service hours. You have to prove it. You have to sign for it. You have to be involved.
You have to. You have to. And then in this past year, you have to go to Mass. You have to be a practicing Catholic. It's funny. It doesn't matter if you believe it. You've got to act like it. That's what's most important for other people, right? Mm-hmm. One of my priest friends was a Franciscan. He walks around with his habit on, and that white, I always forget the language, but that's how they say the rosary. He's like, well, sometimes I'm saying the rosary, but I'm not really believing it. But you know what? Or not believing it, but his mind is elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, other people see me, and that's what's more important for them. You and I have our own, God knows what's in our hearts. But it's important, when we talk about, oh, we have to do service hours and we have to do that. And when you're in eighth grade, oh, you've got a kindergartner and, oh, man, I don't like little kids and all that stuff. But look what it's preparing us for. It's preparing us for being merciful and self-giving of our time and our talent and our treasure. That's what I love about the Catholic grade school system. And And I, like I said before, we're not in competition with the public school system, but we have a part of our curriculum that to me is much more important than those test scores. And I look back and I go, boy, what are my memories of St. Dominic's? What are my memories of that time? And you know what I think of? The nuns, the teachers, the priest, the masses. And you think about that and you go, oh, that's what mom and dad were paying for. That's why mom worked so much and dad worked so much. That's what they were paying for. They could have gotten it for free. They could have got the education for free, you know, through their tax dollars. But, boy, that's what they're paying for. They're paying right. for these people who love God in their lives, teaching their children to not only read, write, and be healthy, but to also have a soul that is oriented towards the faith.
Right, exactly. I wanted to get back to something that we touched on briefly, is that in that each parish in the Quincy area contributes to that. But I know that there is a bit of an income disparity between each of the parishes.
Yes.
And what can you do to help with that, if anything? I don't know if that's possible yet or not.
Right, and that's the great thing about my job, and that's the great point of distinction that we were talking about between me and, say, Dr. Gill, who is the executive administrator of the school. So he's the superintendent, you know, for lack of a better term. That's not his title, but that's the way we can think of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is tasked with, okay, let's see where all these budgets are. Can we unify under one budget? Can we unify these school systems so that, you know, one school doesn't have their walls falling down while the other school is deciding, well, we want better paint on our brand new, you know, mm-hmm. what have yous. What I can do is say, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what schools we have. I don't care where we're educating. I don't care if we're in a dirt bunker like they have to do in China or in Russia. I don't care where we're at. I just want people to have Catholic education if they want it. So that's where I get to rise. I don't want to say rise above it, but I am set away from that problem where, okay, Parish A has twice as many people as Parish B, but they're both trying to fund a K-8 school. That is, I hate to say someone else's problem, because it's not, because I'm a parishioner mm-hmm. of a parish. I have kids in a school that needs money. So I know that they are, and I say they, which is Dr. Gill and his board, and the diocese is really working on an awesome plan to really to create an atmosphere where every dollar is being spent to its fullest potential. You know, I love it. I kind of overhear that, you know, but luckily I don't have to have those conversations. I could sit with Scott Hardy and say, Scott, hey, how about that check you were going to give me when I left the show?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm here grasping at my T-shirt. Where is my checkbook? Yeah. Do you take Venmo? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. But you have more of the 20,000-foot view in terms of just acquiring the money to help get it done.
Right. Yeah. Yes, yes. And that's the thing that I hope I can bring the most to this job. You know, when Sarah Rushell took this over, she created a just amazing network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm learning her job right now and she's helping me. And we laugh every day of like how many things she did in this position and the structure she built, which is so awesome because it's like I get to come over after the ship is built. And I get to be the guy just staring it in the ocean. And I hope that what I can do now in this position is have people go, what's Jared Holbrook doing? What is this foundation? Because there's so many people in this town who want to help any way they can, but they haven't been asked. And that's all it takes. Just ask people. And more importantly, make them care. They have to care. You know, I could take Mr. Hardy Moneybags out to dinner and have cocktails, you know, have some cocktails and say, well, this is how much we need your money. That doesn't make you care. Mm-hmm. So I see my position moving forward is showing people why it's so important that they care about these children. Because guess what? QND, QU, if you want to have your enrollment up, oh boy, we got to focus on these kids in our Catholic school system, in the grade schools.
Right. Do you see yourself having something Q&D has their commitment Sunday in the spring.
Correct.
Do you see something similar to that for the elementary schools?
Yeah, so there are programs set, and I don't want to start talking about it because I'm still being bombarded. It's like a fire hose drinking from the fire hose. It's the same reason. Don't ask me who our best donors are because I'm not going to – I'll forget someone and I'll drive this foundation into the ground. But, yeah, there are. You know, we kick off our campaign, like our faith and our future campaigns is sort of the same. We come and we will speak to the parishes, you know, before Mass, you know, when everyone goes, oh, no, someone's going to come up and talk. You know, I promise I'll set a 2-minute timer on my phone. It's funny because I'm a musician and I play at so many of our parishes and I get to know their personalities and everything. So hopefully they have a little bit more mercy on me if I say, hey, can I get a quick minute?
And you've got an internal clock in your head about how much time actually goes.
Just like you.
Yeah.
I've been playing music. I know when to stop at 9:30.
2 minutes is done. There we go. So, yeah, so, you know, it's exciting to see what you've got planned. I know you'll always have some sort of ideas. And if we've inspired anybody to go ahead and give to the Catholic Elementary Schools Foundation, what should they do?
Yeah, so they can call. Go onto the website. So it's QuincyCatholicSchools.org, and boom, you're going to find everything. That will take, you'll see a place on there for QCS Foundation, which is me. You can click on there, and it gives you every way that you can donate to this cause.
Yeah. So don't ask Jared about the plans or anything. He'll just hand you a pen and say, can we talk?
Yes, sir.
But it's for a very good cause. It really, really is. Jared Holbrook, thank you so much. You're welcome here anytime.
Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thank you. 9:33. We're going to get our first look at the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. And then in a few minutes, we'll talk Rotary. That's on the way for you here on the talk show. Sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD. Thirty-six. Welcome in on the talk show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, distributed through Refreshment Services Pepsi. So glad to have you along. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk it over with Suzanne Ellerbrock about the Rotary Club and all the activities that they have got going on. Busy time for everybody, and we'll tell you all about that coming up. But let's go ahead now and head on up to the Ursa Farmers Co-op, get our first look at the latest commodity prices from the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Corn for September is down 1 at 392. December is down at 413. Soybeans for August is up 2 at 963. November it's up at 989. Wheat for September is down 5 at 517. July is down 4 at 575. Soybean meal for August is at 261. Lean hogs for October is down at 8867. Feeder cattle for October is down at 329. Live cattle for October is up at 223. Crude oil is down 1 at 66.67. And the Dow Jones is up 168 at 42,356. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. And we'll get another update from the Ursa Farmers Co-op coming up next hour during the Ramsey Show. Now 9:37, coming up on 9:38. And in studio now, talking all things Rotary, it's Suzanne Ellerbrock. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you know me well enough, or you just are a very, very smart person. You brought me chocolate from the Yum Factory.
I did, because, you know, Rotary is like a box of chocolates. We all look different on the outside, but it's what's inside that matters the most. So that's why I brought those.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. And I meant to ask you. Didn't know if you got my joke or not.
I did. About the shrimp.
Very good. Okay.
Oh, no, we have Dean with us, too?
Yes,
awesome.
We do. Yes, we do.
Now he's going to keep me on track. Dang it.
Dang it.
Yeah, right. I'm going to keep you on track.
Dean Lavelle is here as well. We're talking things Rotary here. So tell me what's going on with the club. I know that you're always active in local events. You always have something planned. You're raising money for some deserving charity or nonprofit in the area. What's going on? Tell me the latest.
Well, upcoming one is going to be Oktoberfest. That one is our biggest fundraiser. It is scheduled for September 27th, and everybody says, but it's Oktoberfest. Well, if you're in Germany, it's actually in September. So that is our biggest fundraiser, again, coming up September 27th, starting at noon and going until 10 p.m., and it's a party. If you haven't been, you definitely need to come.
That's getting bigger and bigger every year, isn't it?
Every year, and so we need volunteers. So you don't have to be a Rotarian. If you just want to come down and volunteer at the event, you are most welcome to contact us at the Rotary Club of Quincy, and we would be happy to put you to work.
All right. We just had Jared Holbrook in with the Quincy Catholic Elementary Schools Foundation, and, well, the Catholic school is also needing service hours, so I imagine if somebody wanted to do that, just call you and let you know, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All righty. Now, this event started just as is a chance to close off a section of York Street and by the Dick Brothers Brewery and then to just get involved with that. And it just keeps growing. More things get added each year, don't they?
Every year. Every year it does. Dean, you want to talk about the .02 beer brat run?
Yeah. So the first or second year, I think it was the second year, we were looking for other ways to raise money as part of it besides just selling beer and brats, which is the great thing to sell anyway. And so I got thinking about it, and I thought, well, there's no way we're going to have like a 5K or a 10K. Come on, nobody's going to drink beer and eat brats and do that. And then talking to somebody, and he said, I wouldn't do it, but I'd do a 200, you know, the 200-yard thing. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that's 2K, 2K. I saw the picture, the sticker in my mind, and there it is. And so we do it. So what happens is people start at one end of the block, and we give them a brat, and they run down, or walk, or whatever, down to the other end, eating the brat, and then they get a beer, and they drink it on the way back. And they get, you know, a hearty handshake at the end, and of course, the sticker, which is the big thing.
And bragging rights.
Oh, yeah, bragging rights.
Yeah. And
bragging rights, and I'm sure that points are added or deducted based on how much spillage of the beer.
Well, that's the interesting thing. We decided that in the spirit of the old David Letterman show, the points don't matter.
Okay.
And so what we do is just whoever gets over the first, and you know, especially the third heat, it's a different crowd. They've
been there a while.
Yeah,
so
the competition part is maybe not the big part of it at that time. It's the enjoyment.
By that time, the thought of, oh, yeah, I can run with my mouth full of a brat and then chug, you know, have a beer. Oh, that's a good idea. I can do that.
Oh, yeah, it's still a good idea. I think it's a fantastic idea. I get to watch it. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I get to watch it, too. I stand holding the tape and cheering them on, but I am not doing it.
Right, so. That's why they write. And so, what we do is we take yellow, you know, construction tape kind of thing and have everybody there. We close, you know, we take the tape down, so we create a path through the whole audience, or, you know, through the audience and all the beer tents and all the things and the food. And so it involves everybody. Everybody gets to hold it and yell, and it's a fun time.
You play Chariots of Fire, the theme, and then you have people slow down
well,
for the
Have
people slow down for the slow-mo and just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the only problem is two-thirds of the audience wouldn't know what that was. So that would probably not be the thing to do.
Dang it, I showed my age.
Well,
Jeez.
Welcome to Rotary.
Yeah.
Although I joke, right? When I joined about 18 years ago, thank you, Suzanne invited me, and Suzanne and Nancy invited me to join. When I did, I was 42, and I brought the average age down. And now I'm no longer 42. I'm 60, and I'm definitely bringing the age up. We've got quite a bit of young folks now.
We do, which is great. That's what I was saying. Rotary is so different. It doesn't matter about your age, your gender, anything. We want people that have a heart for service. And that's what it's all about, because in addition to the fundraisers that we do, we are serving in the community, and that's what's important. So if you're out there and you're thinking, hey, I need something to do at lunch, or we now have an evening club, and you just want to get involved, Rotary is the place to do it.
Yeah, and that's a great thing to have in this instance for the club, is the fact that you've got new people, new blood, new ideas.
New ideas, really.
Yeah, that really, really is. So, unfortunately, Suzanne, you get too good of a view at the finish line there of the .2 race there.
Yeah,
but
that, by that third heat, I'm actually gone. I take an early shift for that reason. So when I work, it is the early shift, so I don't have to see all that craziness at night.
Some experience. There you go.
Just a few.
But the nice thing about the event is, too, while you're having fun, people are spending a little bit of money, and that money gets put to good use right here in Quincy.
It absolutely does. We have recently put a stone out on the Friends of the Trail so people can see Rotary there. We've done the park, South Park. We have a gazebo down there. I mean, just look around. Johnwood Community College out on 48th. Dean?
The shelter house at South Park, that really nice one, right? That was our first, the club's first thing. We did that in 1917. So that's the one, the brick. And the park district just spent a bunch of money to revamp it. So it's still going. We did Indian Mounds Pool in 1924. And then I keep forgetting. And then Indian Mounds Pool reconstruction in 2003. The gazebo at Clyde Adams Riverfront Park, John Wood Student Arboretum. The gazebo at Bob Mays Park, the Salvation Army Family Services Center in 2013, Quincy University's Rotary Centennial Park, we just saw again the other day, 2015. Our big one for our 100th anniversary in 2015 was a $150,000 donation to create one of the pedestrian bridges on the Bill Klingner Trail. Bill was a member, obviously, as is his son, Mike. And Star Lab at Gardner Camp in 2020. The Student Learning Center at Bob Bangert Park in 2020, and last year, the Quincy Public Library's Bookmobile.
Those
are just some of them.
Those are just some of them, yeah. And there's one also, if you see the mobile speed sign that's around town every once in a while, that was Rotary years ago. So we're everywhere. Just look for us.
Yeah, but it's such a lasting legacy because you're leaving permanent things for the whole community to use. And I think the Bicentennial Committee kind of got that same idea when they put up the Heritage Pavilion up at
the
fairground.
Yeah. Same thing. It's going to be there for years, and people will be able to enjoy it. And even though we won't be here to enjoy it, others can say, hey, that's what they gave to us.
Right.
And that's what Rotary is giving to our community.
Yeah.
We also have an event coming up at the end of September, also September 30th. We are dedicating a peace pole to the community, and it is four-sided, and it says, may peace prevail on earth. It will be in English, Spanish, French, and German, and we're hosting a dedication ceremony on that day, and we'll talk more about it, but we are inviting a past Rotary International president to come in and speak to our club and then to dedicate this pole to our community because peace is so important throughout the world, and it's one of Rotary's mainstays is peace, and they have peace colleges and peace poles and peace clubs, and so we're jumping on that bandwagon, so to speak, and bringing some peace to the community.
Yeah, it's just a nice thought to always put that out there.
Definitely.
Know, to just have it out there, you know?
Have you ever heard of the Rotarian Nicholas Winton?
I have not.
I can't say that I have, no.
Okay, so he was born to Jewish German parents who had emigrated to Britain at the beginning of the 20th century. He assisted in the rescue of 669 Jewish children from Czechoslovakia on the eve of World War II. He was a stockbroker in 1938, and while he was visiting Czechoslovakia, he found out that they were threatened, and so he worked to make a list of a bunch of children, got back to Britain, worked with the government to get them the legal requirements taken care of, to bring them in, find homes and sponsors. You had to find a sponsor with money to do it. That later, you know, you may have heard of that as a Czech Kinder transport, children's transport. The last group of children, however, were scheduled to leave Prague on September 1st, 1939. As we know, Hitler invaded Poland that day and World War II was on, so they were not allowed to leave. And of those 250 children, two survived the Holocaust.
Wow.
Mr. Winton never told anyone, including his wife and kids, about his efforts to save Jewish children from the Nazis. His humanitarian accomplishments remained unnoticed and unknown for 50 years until 1988 when his wife discovered a scrapbook in the attic which listed all the children and where they went. So in 1988, the BBC program That's Life had him in the audience, Nicholas Winton, and the host asked whether anybody in the audience was among the children who owed their lives to him, and if so, to stand. More than two dozen stood amid tears and hugs. And of course, this quiet, reserved man didn't say much. He just tears down his face. The host then asked if anyone present was a child or grandchild of the children he had saved, and the entire rest of the audience stood. That video is on YouTube, and you can see it, and it's powerful. And so Sir Nicholas Winton, he was knighted by Queen Elizabeth at that point, is the type of person that makes me proud to be a member of Rotary and whose example, especially today, I strive to emulate.
Well, that's a worthwhile thing to do as well. That's just to, because that's really what service is all about, to give more than of yourself to others so that way you can perpetuate ideas and themes of service and really make your community a better place.
You can, and just like Dean said, this man was a quiet man, and he did it. And Rotary, unfortunately, has been that way for many, many years. We've been very quiet about what we do, but we're reaching out to the community, to, you know, the cities, the towns, everywhere to say, we're here to to do good in the world. And it doesn't matter if that world is right here in Quincy, Illinois, if it's in the United States, if it's in Europe, Poland, wherever, we're here and we can help meet the needs. And we're there when the disasters happen. We're there when, you know, you need the polio vaccine. Rotary's there, but we've been doing it quietly for years.
Yeah, and the polio vaccine is one of the things that you do work on as well each year. You have a fundraiser each year for that.
We do. That one's scheduled for November 1st. It's bourbon and popcorn. It's our fifth anniversary of doing this event, so we're really excited about that. Each year we raise about $14,000, and then the Gates Foundation matches that 2-to-1. So that money just triples, and we're able to help more children have life.
The organization Rotary, it's not the time to just say, well, why do we need to do that? You know, it's just, oh, we need to do that, and we better do it just in case nobody else does.
Exactly. And we've got great service organizations in our community. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But we find that I joined a long time ago too, Dean, and I was at the time 34, and I'm no longer that age. But, you know, it was because I was told to join for the networking and the fellowship. But I have to tell you, I miss Rotary when I am not there. I miss that fellowship, that camaraderie that we have, and the ideas that we come up with of what to do to make our community a better place to live.
Yeah.
And like I said, we have two clubs now. So if you're interested in Tuesdays at noon, so we meet at the Holiday Inn out on Oak Street, or if you need an evening from 6 to 7, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month, they meet at Relax Quincy Spas. Both two very different groups, but both doing very good in our community.
Very good. We'll talk more about what it is if you go to a meeting, what you can expect on a Tuesday, besides a good meal of chicken, that's for sure. So we'll tell you more about that when we take a break. We'll come back with more here on The Talk Show, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee on WTAD.
Walk by all the time, so, you know, I walk in the morning and afternoon.
9:53 here on the morning show, on the talk show here, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. If you're of a certain age, you remember this every Saturday on CBS. Of course, it's the Electric Light Orchestra. Let's get back to our discussion here about Rotary with Suzanne Ellerbrock, Dean Lavelle from the Quincy chapter. And you guys meet every Tuesday at noon, as you mentioned, at the Holiday Inn. And it's just by itself, just the meetings. It's a great way to catch up with folks and to really get to know a lot of important people and a lot of connections in and around the area.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an hour meeting. It's pretty, you know, loose at the beginning. Everybody's kind of talking and catching up and meeting people. You get almost every time I meet somebody new, either a guest or a new member. And then, you know, we start the program. Fortunately or unfortunately, we sing at the beginning. So there's that.
It's tradition. There are some things that are tradition.
Right, yeah. Right. It's 100 and some year old. Now what, 111, whatever it is. 1915 to whatever.
1915.
Oh,
yeah.
So we have some of those traditions. But, you know, we have a program. We talk about what's going on in the club. And then we have a program. A speaker comes in, somebody of interest in the community. You know, we try to find, or, you know, like occasionally we have every 2 or 3 years, we have somebody from the St. Louis Fed come in and speak about the greater economy. Then we'll have a local business owner. Then we'll have, you know, a former Rotarian that, like Nancy's family, or I'm sorry, Suzanne, yeah, Nancy's family.
Nancy's family.
Her three children have been Rotary exchange students overseas. They all three live overseas right now, I believe.
Crazy, yep.
Yep, and they're all very successful and, you know, great careers. And so we have people like that come back and say, hey, this is the outcome. Or we'll have one of our foreign exchange students come back and tell us, hey, this is what I've done in my life, my third doctorate with the German girl.
I know. That's, you know, one of the things in the box of chocolates I bought you is a one with chili. And the reason I did it is because we are involved internationally. From our club here, we invite exchange students to stay in our homes for
three months.
So we get host families, but these are kids that are coming over from Colombia, from Brazil, from Poland, from Germany, and they get immersed into our community, and they go to Quincy High School, and it is just so much fun to watch them grow in that time frame, and then to have them come back, because they want to come back and see their family here in Quincy, Illinois. In addition, we give that same opportunity to students in our area. And when I say our area, it is not just Quincy. It is Camp Point. It is, you know, Liberty, wherever people want to go. And you don't have to be a member of Rotary to have an outbound exchange student, but they get to go and have the experience of their life. And Dean mentioned Nancy. Her son, Brian, went to Turkey, met a girl from Canada. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And two years ago they got married and live in Canada. So you just never know what Rotary is going to bring into your life.
Yeah, and it's a great way to travel like that, especially staying in one area for a period of months. You really broaden your mind and you really broaden your experiences about what the rest of the world is like.
Right. They say, you know, it really is a small world.
Yeah.
We're all alike. We are all human beings. We all have love in our hearts. We all want to give, but you have to get out of your area to see that and to see what you can bring. I mean, it's just amazing what these exchange students that we send out, when they come back, their lives are very different.
Oh, yeah.
Very different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dr. Linda Moore, the mayor, recently went to Germany, and she said she was amazed because, you know, even in Germany, they have not enough housing, bad roads, and, you know, things that she has to deal with every day, she has to deal with it there, too. So it is a small world. It really is.
We're not alone. But Rotary is an international service club. So if you travel and you want to be at home, you can attend a Rotary meeting, and, you know, you have friends for life.
Yeah, you do. I also like the fact that you have the speakers nearly every week, and you just learn so much more about the community when you do that, and sometimes they even make news when they're there. Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do make news, and it's really important for people to understand that we want to highlight our community. We want to know what's going on in our community. But it's also sometimes about the kids. I mean, we bring in the basketball coaches to tell us about what's going to be happening this year. We bring in the Quincy Community Theater to do some of their program. We bring in the kids from the high school when they're doing their theatrical program. And so we get to just experience a little bit of Quincy in a different way.
And then another thing we've done over the years, it's kind of, I think right now it's in abeyance, but we'll get it back going again, is for years we read to the third grade classes at Rooney School, which is now closed, of course, and now it's Isles is the one that we've been reading at. And so one year, the year I was president, this is like 2012, so it was a little bit ago, we were at that, and I was reading to the kids and found out that most of them didn't have a library at home. And so I went back to the club, told them about it, and we bought 3 books for every kid in the third grade at Rooney. And those are the kind of some of the things that we'll do in response to things that we find out about.
Yeah.
Find there's a need. Although, as we pointed out earlier, our primary thing is to build, is to make donations that are brick and mortar, that have, you know, they're permanent, as Suzanne was saying. So, you know, we want to do things that are going to be here 100 years from now, like the bridge, like the, you know, all these different things.
Exactly. So in just a few seconds we have left, looking forward to you guys being back here next month when you bring the International Rotary President in and have that ceremony. And also we'll get more about the Oktoberfest as well,
definitely,
coming up in late
definitely.
September. So, and if somebody really wants to be a member, they just need to stop by the Holiday Inn Tuesday right before the noon hour.
Tuesday at noon, and we're happy to host you. Look for Dean or Suzanne, or any Rotarian will be happy to have you.
Yeah, yeah. Dean Lavelle, Suzanne Ellenbrock, thank you both for being here talking about Rotary. Appreciate it very, very much. Have a nice weekend, especially with these temperatures.
Thank you.
You as well. Thank you.
You betcha. Words coming up on 10 o'clock. Of course, the Ramsey Show is next on WTAD.